This is Phil Pritchett. Welcome to the P2 Podcast.
There's never been a better time than right now to be a musician.
Jenny hit Austin.
My name's Phil, and I just want to play rock and roll, man.
Tougher than the rest.
Just want to do things my own way, you know.
Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. It is your old friend Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast, broadcasting to you in beautiful high-definition audio or something quite like it, to all four corners of the globe, to all parts wherever the internet can be received on this big greenish-blue planet of ours, where you can digest the P2 Podcast in all of its whimsical informative glory. At your leisure at p2podcast.com. Anytime you like, just go there. Check out the latest episode, like this one we are creating right now, at this moment that I am speaking. How you doing, folks? It's so great to be with you here again. Here on this lovely, God, we've had the mild weather here in North Texas. Man, beautiful. It helps out with the kids, man, not having the kids all banging around in the house. Everybody can get outside. Some mild North Texas winter weather here in January. My goodness. Well, everyone who knows me knows that I love the cold. I love the cold. Jackets, hat. Don't get me wrong, I'm wearing all that stuff anyway. It's 70 degrees. I've still got on my Stetson open road hat, scarf. A wool-lined, jean jacket of vintage variety. Still keeping it, keeping it rock and roll as best I can. How about old Pete Cody? Speaking of being hot to be cool, dressing heavily and cool in order to be hot. When it's hot, it's cool. God, I'm getting confused. I'm talking about Pete Cotney from last week. How about having old Pete come by? Jack Ingram's drummer for all those many, many, many years. Well, he will be joining us here shortly on the show. Looking so far, we were talking last week about, all kinds of stuff. Christmas albums, all sorts of fun, seasonal things. But our conversations, as always on the podcast, will no doubt veer into, the future. And what he's been up to. We'll be checking in with Pete Cotney a little bit later on in our next segment, in our guest segment. So look forward to that, won't you? Thanks to all of you out there. I want to send a heartfelt thank you to everyone who has donated to the new podcast, on p2podcast.com. I got the little tip jar over there to keep this program running to you, commercial-free, bringing you the best in insight and knowledge into the Texas music business. Well, I don't know how much you learn about the Texas music business. All I know is my business. Into the Phil Pritchett entertainment business, I guess. I don't know how connected I am. Sometimes I feel like I'm really in the know. You know, I'm in the grocery store and someone's like, "Hey, man, I heard you on the radio. I saw you back in the day, whatever. Saw you at the Granada last week." It's always great. I always love it. Thank you very much. But so in those cases, I feel very connected. Hey, don't you know, Pat Green or, you know, I'm like, oh, yeah, yeah, whatever. Stuff like that. It always makes me feel like I'm very connected, very on the inside. But boy, then I listen to like, I catch some modern Texas music radio or something like that. And I feel like I'm a million miles away. I'm like, gosh, I'm just holed up somewhere. I'm a hermit, you know. I've read all these biographies of dudes playing music like Dylan or anybody. And man, I'm telling you, you get in your late 30s, 40s, it's a tough period. I'm in the middle of that. Check out Jerry Jeff Walker in his 40s, early 50s, where he was at. Playing at country clubs by himself, doing private parties. Surviving, doing quite well, but sort of out of the... he was just out of the mainstream scene, you know. I don't know. He had kids and built a life for himself. He was enjoying that, I guess. I don't know. Maybe that's where I am now. Somewhat connected, but somewhat far away from it. It's an odd place to be at my age, having been in it and having been around for so long. But we're still doing it, man. Speaking of doing it, had a great show last weekend at the Granada Theater. The Granada Theater, Dallas, Texas. Born and raised, my hometown. The Granada has, God, it's a big place. You know, we've played a lot of our own shows there. But, man, it's crowded. Hard to get a date there these days with my friend Mike Schroeder. I want to congratulate Mike, the owner of the Granada Theater. He opened a restaurant next door. It's called Sunsets, I believe. It's right next to the Granada. Very hip. Looks like it has great food. Very cool. Mike is the quintessential Dallas music businessman. Maybe the only one. A great guy. He used to own CD World, the CD place right up here on over there on Greenville and Mockingbird. CD World. I mean, he sold all those tonnage of Texas music CDs back in the 90s. You know, I'd go in there and hang out with him. It was the kind of place you'd go to an in-store. You would just sit on, like, the counter next to the cash register with your guitar, and he just would hand you beers while you played, and people would walk in and have a beer and buy your CD. It was great. Mike was just such a champion of all things music, you know, big Texas music guy, but then he'd also just, you know, go on the road with Widespread Panic for like a year. Then he buys and opens the Granada Theater, which has just been a tremendous success story. Although some of his stories of, you know, fixing leaks in the roof and paying the air conditioning bill are financially horrifying. I'm always admiring how he keeps things rolling, but he does. I told him he's committing a financial suicide or denying it by opening a restaurant bar next to a live music venue. Who can survive such a thing? Who could survive such a financial voyage as that? But leave it to Mike Schroeder, the great Mike Schroeder, to figure it out. So we wish him great success with his new venture next to the Granada Theater. Michael, well, man, we walked onto the Granada Theater stage Friday night with our old friend Charlie Robinson. Well, I don't know him very well. I've met him, of course, several times, but we're not buddy-buddy. I don't know him too well. But, oh man, it was exciting though. Backstage, they had some seating in the balcony and on the sides like they do, but mostly standing room only. I don't know, maybe 780 tickets or something like that. So pretty big night, man. That was the sellout. So, that word started getting thrown around, started getting batted around backstage. Man, they're gonna sell it out. Make no mistake, we had a huge part to do with that. That was the word, man. That was the word backstage. Taking nothing away from Charlie and his crowd, who certainly was there in mass. But we hadn't played a band show in Dallas, me and the full band, in quite some time. So I had a lot of you emailed and shot me little posts on Facebook saying, "Hey, man, we're making it out, and it'll be a great night." So, and it was the first night the Granada Theater was open for a show of 2012. They're always closed the first 2 weeks, I think, in January, as Mike and the staff over at the Granada take a few weeks off for everybody. So, man, tremendous excitement on Friday night as the full band hit the stage. Please go to Flickr, F-L-I-C-K-R, of course, and search Phil Pritchett. There's a couple of slideshows on there from the Come and Take It guys, Cameron Gott and Steven. Some great, great photos from that. And Bill Ellison at the Granada Theater always takes great pictures as well. I think I put one on Facebook the other day of the band, of all of us kneeling down. ending the show or in the middle of the show. Fantastic. A lot of great photos taken that night. A well-documented show, I think it's safe to say. Well-documented show. And thanks to all of you for coming out and making it so memorable. We look to be back there very, very soon in Big D. Phil, what else is going on? Man, I've already got your emails. We're already putting a lot of private parties on the calendar for February and March and beyond. So shoot me an email, phil@philpritchett.com. Phil, I'm getting married. I'm having a backyard barbecue. I'm opening a club. We're having a festival. Whatever. Love hearing it. That is the focus, really, going forward. Those are the shows that seem to do the best for us and please everyone all around. Of course, we're always going to be playing Granadas and festivals and clubs like that. But be sure and think of us, folks. And call me, 817-733-5256. Man, my old college, Southwestern University, called me the other day. The Fidelts down there. It's been a while since I played a fraternity party, man. But that's what we're doing in March. Thrilled to get you guys' call. So we'll be going down there and playing for the Fies in March down there. So look forward to that at the end of March. Sneak into that Rawhide party. Email somebody down there in Georgetown, Texas. P2 and the full band will be coming back to play in March. Also, let me know your thoughts, phil@philpritchett.com. on revisiting Private Party April. We did Private Party April last year to great fanfare. Played several places. The whole point of it is to have a show, you know, I don't know, $600-$700. I just come to your house. Sometimes I have a PA. Gosh, I spent time just sitting on a cooler playing guitar with Cameron Gott and the boys down there in South Texas last time. A lot of unusual shows, but really, really great fun. So if you got something coming up in April or some party you're thinking about having in the spring, say, hey, man, Phil's going to have Private Party April. Private Party April will hold out for April to have Phil come down and play. So check that out, folks. Let me know if that's a good idea to continue that little tradition. But it seemed to have some legs, and everybody seemed to have a lot of fun last year. So let it be known, we're coming to your house to play, man. That's the theme for 2012. What's your party going to be? What can you throw? What kind of event you got going on that will require only the greatest rock and roll that Texas can provide and anywhere else? Me, Phil, and the full band if you need them as well. We are on call, phil@philpritchett.com. I hear a rustling. I hear a rapping at my chamber door. That could only mean our old friend Pete Coatney, Jack Ingram's drummer for the last 18 years, and so much else. Golly, he's been all over the world playing with Jack and other bands. Pete Coatney is going to be walking in here shortly to offer his sights and his insights to his world on the Texas music road. Stay tuned for my old friend Pete Coatney in our next segment. Next.
To throw the rope and rearrange, you have followed. Thank you.
Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. It is Phil Pritchett on the P2 Podcast, broadcasting worldwide in beautiful high-definition audio, or something quite like it, to all corners of the globe. Here from Trinidad World Recording Studios, well, folks, as promised, a true Texas music legend. Forget Texas, a music legend is here with us today. I look out here on the steps of Trinidad World Recording. The buzzer sounds. I look out there. It looks like someone from the Rolling Stones is out there. Leather jacket, sunglasses, black pants, pointy boots. I'm like, man, who is this man? Of course, I know this guy as the legendary Pete Coatney from Jack Ingram's Beat Up Ford Band for, gosh, I don't know, 20 years and so many others. And it was on the show about a year ago. Welcome back, Pete. It's been a long time since you've been here on the podcast.
It's nice to be back.
Man, it has been, I guess about a year or a year and a half or so since you were on here to tell us the much bantered about story about the time the Rolling Stones opened for you.
Oh, boy.
And Jack Ingram in Canada. Was that Montreal? Toronto.
Toronto, yeah.
In Toronto. And, nothing much has changed. You're still playing with Jack.
18 years as of February 1st. It's 18 been a long
years.
Time.
I got to see Jack and Pete play in Corpus not too long ago, a few weeks ago.
That's right. That was a fun festival.
That was. I was down there playing a wedding down there. Lo and behold, we got Keen and Ingram Reckless playing over at the ballpark there, Whataburger Field in Corpus. Good to see all you guys.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. That's the second year in a row we've done that, and it seems like it's taken off for them.
The legendary Casey Lane produces that.
Yeah, yeah.
Former surf club manager. Now he runs the House of Rock down there in Corpus
owns
Christi.
And runs it. Yeah.
Well, man, how has it been out there this year? How's the year been for you? We're here at the end of the year looking back. 2011, what did it mean for Pete Cody?
Well, let me back up just one second and
back
say...
Back up as far as you want.
When you introduce the show, I think when I'm here, we have to say it's P3.
Mm-hmm. Indeed, my bad.
That's all right.
P3 all together.
So now going forward and looking
well
back,
said. As well
a,
said.
I guess the year in review, it's been a little bit of a slower year for us. We're 2.5 years since our last record.
Right.
And when I say us, I mean
Jack. Y'all were so slammed up for so many years. 2 or 3 years ago, really
yeah.
playing a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. We, I mean, there were some years where we were doing, you know, 150, 170 shows.
Right. A lot of fest, just on the road, was opening up for folks and doing your own shows, of course.
But this year has been
a bit calmer.
Know, a little bit calmer, yeah. A little bit, I guess, easier going as far as the schedule is concerned. And the last quarter of the year tapered off tremendously.
Yeah. As he says with a wry grin.
I had one show in
the last couple
December.
Months. Oh, is that right?
Yeah, and it happened to be right here in Fort Worth.
Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah, Billy Bob's.
Billy Bob's, yeah.
A few nights ago.
Yeah.
How'd that go?
It was great. We had a great time.
Go pretty well.
Yeah.
Good deal.
We had a really
so who's
nice
back
time.
On bass now? Y'all still got Kenley playing bass? Or
well,
you're kind of jockeying at that position these
this
days.
This year has been interesting because, you know, our the bass player that we have for a couple of years.
As an experienced musician guy, sorry to cut you
no,
off.
That's all right.
I can perceive these things with my powers of, you know, I can look at a lineup and I can say, oh, they're you know, churning the pot at this position, struggling at this position.
Yeah.
Not that you guys ever struggle or anything, but... You can see y'all had Kenley Wolf on bass, who was your bass player a long time ago.
We had this year when Casey left us. He'd been with us for a couple of years.
I don't know if I knew him.
Casey Twist.
Yeah. I knew the name, yeah.
He had come to us from Gavin DeGraw, but he had played previously with some other Texas artists. And,
mm-hmm. Is he a Texas guy or is he a
no, he lives.
Guy?
He's like Oklahoma, Arkansas.
Okay.
And... anyhow, he's playing with Stoney LaRue now.
Mm-hmm.
But when he left us, we just kind of left that position open and just kind of used a revolving door of whoever was available.
Everyone pulls up their cell phone. You
well,
start scrolling through. Hey,
we just went.
Song,
we went. I mean, we literally went back and used people 12 years back.
Yeah.
I mean, we used Scott Esbeck.
Yeah.
Who was with us back in 98, 99. We used Kenley Wolf, of course.
Who was with the Cult for many years.
That's right.
But with Jack Ingram way back.
Back in 2000.
Yeah.
We used John Mike,
mm-hmm.
who's with the Happenings and played with us for a couple of years in the mid-2000s.
Robert Kearns. Was
Robert Kearns has made some appearances. And, of course, you know, in between his high-profile gigs with Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Is he in Lynyrd Skynyrd now?
Yeah.
Is that right?
He's been with Skynyrd for 2.5 years.
The great Robert Kearns started out with the Bottle Rockets.
Yeah, well, before
well, yeah,
that.
Other stuff before then.
Yeah, he was in Cry of Love.
Uh-huh.
You know, that late 80s rock band mm-hmm. Cry of Love. They had their 15 minutes and did quite well for a while.
And then he was in, from the Bottle Rockets.
Right.
He ran around with Bobby Baird Jr. and
right.
those guys. And
played with Chris Cagle for a little while.
Did he? Oh, that's right. Well, he left Jack to go with Chris.
He did a stint with Chris for a while.
We played at the Midnight Rodeo in Austin with you guys. It was Robert's last gig right before that he took that gig.
In Austin?
Yeah, out there on the loop. The
yes.
Big, you know, and it was a great show.
Yeah.
Because there was obviously a lot of feelings between you guys and Robert leaving. And we had done a lot of shows with y'all recently, so
mm-hmm.
we kind of gotten to know Robert and all you guys and so anyway he was leaving and he said kind of in his high voice just well Phil I'm gonna go try it with I've always been in cool bands but hey I'm gonna make a little money and just try it on the other side for a little while or something like that
and sounds just
that
like
was, a, you know something like that
hey man
hey man
hey man
hey Phil what's going on
So yeah. Robert Kern's been in the mix. Well, that's good. So, but gosh, y'all are deep at that position, bass.
Well, yeah. And then I guess most recently, since about midsummer, we added Robbie Kearns. Mm-hmm. I mean Kearns, Robbie Harrington. Excuse me.
Yes.
Yeah, Robbie
bass
Harrington.
Player?
Yeah, he played with Dierks Bentley.
Uh huh.
And he played with Brooks and Dunn, did their farewell tour.
Okay.
And
Brooks and Dunn, the band like that, they have the same band, or are they always cycling guys in for
they
each
had
tour?
Those guys have
same
guys
drummer
in band
for 30
they're,
years. Kind
well,
of
you know, 12 years,
okay.
10
okay.
and 12
okay.
years. Those guys have been around for a right. while. But yeah, Robbie Harrington, great guy, great hang, and mm-hmm. really good bass player. He is super excited about playing with us. He got to know us when we toured with Dierks Bentley and
right.
really so enjoyed us. So he heard that the position was open, and he made sure he got in touch with the right people to say
to
he was
jump
available.
In. Right.
And he's kind of his day gig is he's playing with Ronnie Dunn on his solo thing.
Tour now, right?
So that's his day gig. But when he's it's not exceptionally busy. So when he's off from that, he likes to try to hang with the Beat Up Ford band.
That's right.
So he's been with us for probably on off and on since the middle of the summer, and
y'all traveling with any keys right now? Keyboard players or not
no,
really?
Not
y'all don't
really.
Have anybody in Corpus. Y'all did for a long time though, didn't you?
We had a great keyboard player, Billy Nobel, mm-hmm. played with us for a couple of years, and then going way back we had Bucca Allen. And yeah. Bucca came out and played with us at Billy Bob's the other night.
Gosh, y'all, Jack, and y'all been around Texas for so long, played with so many people. Plus, every other musician knows a lot of the material just offhand. I mean, I don't want to hurt Jack's feelings by saying I probably haven't listened to a lot of his records extensively, but I've seen a lot of the shows. Sorry.
What a shame.
Well, I mean, I was just like, well, Phil, how do you know all his songs? Do you listen to his records all the time? I'm like, well, no, but I've seen the show so many times, I could do the show. If somebody said, hey, man, Jack broke his hand, Phil, could you throw on a Telecaster and get there and play Ingram's show? I'm like, man, I could do okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I could follow along. I could make it happen. Sure.
All
I could
right.
sing some harmony and play. I'd love it.
Heck
I'd love
yeah.
it. You're not hiring at the guitar position, are you?
Well,
of course, y'all have had Frenchie forever,
yeah,
lead Frenchie, guitar.
Frenchie's been with us for 4.5 years.
Yeah.
He is at this moment, he's visiting his folks over in France.
I'm in France, Phil. France, playing the guitar.
Yeah, but, actually his latest update was that he was in Paris and waiting mm-hmm. to get on the plane to come back to Dallas. So he'll be
great.
In Dallas over the next 24 hours or so.
Right. He lives, where does he, just floats around. He didn't live anywhere.
He's living in Nashville. He's been there for a couple of years.
Okay.
Yep.
You know, Frenchie was talking about coming in here and doing a project I was excited about. I guess he's still trying to get it together.
Yeah, he's...
Because I have Pete on the drums, you can play the bass, we'll do him an album. I was like, all right. I know he's trying to get it all worked out. I hope that comes to fruition.
Out. That would be fun.
That'd be a nice little head on the wall of Trinidad World Recording, you know?
Yes.
Some of the Ingram guys in here doing a record.
Well, it's certainly not beyond the realm of possibility.
Well, what else is going on? I know you were talking about getting into some producing. You were talking about moving to Nashville for a while.
Yeah, we tabled
that.
That
was kicking around. Everyone around here was brokenhearted. They're like, Cotney's moving to Nashville. It's like, what? But it turns out you just sold your house, moved around the corner.
That's right.
Drove the stake into the ground and said, Texas by birth, by God. And that was it.
Staying for now. That's right.
For now? What does that mean?
Well, you know, I always got to be open to the idea of it.
Right.
Texas, I'll always be Texan no matter where I live.
No matter.
Texas will always be home.
Well, man, if you don't mind my asking, without getting too detailed, I mean, I feel like in my world, the last couple of years have been very, very interesting in that... and I've talked about it on the show with other guests and things, that it just seems like as us guys, as we get older, certainly we're more well-known, but our fans get older. And it just the types of gigs we play seems to change a whole lot. I find myself just playing all kinds of weird things. private shows, just stuff I don't know, but that works really well.
Yes.
And playing in some markets in a club with a hefty cover at the door, hefty ticket price or so, can prove to be daunting.
Yeah, yeah.
To draw people in. Ingram made the point when I talked to Jack at Corpus. He was like, man, when we started out, there was like you and me and like three other guys, you know? Like,
right.
Even before Pat and those guys started playing a lot, like around 99, 2000. But, you know, 95, there was like me and Jack and Jack did very well, but I had a CD out. Owen Temple had a record, a CD.
Right, right.
And Corey and those guys didn't kind of come along until about 3 or 4 years later. And for a little while there, and I was telling, you know, I was like, Ingram, I got calls from fraternities and, you know, Nacogdoches, place I would have never gone to, and was just like, hey, you know, come on, we'll pay you. Everybody's got your CD up here in the store, Crystal Clear distributing us. And it was, it's drastically different now,
okay.
20 years later.
Completely
and
different.
My question is just, how do you soldier on, you know? How do you keep going sometimes?
Right.
Well, when you're playing in some market where you remember, man, I remember selling this place out. When was that? Like, well, I was like 99. I'm like, oh, you know, I mean, I'm playing someplace, but you don't recognize anybody there.
Right.
It's kind of a weird place to be, I think, having done it for about 15, 20 years.
Yeah.
Would you agree on some level?
Oh, yeah. You have to make an adjustment in your expectations.
Exactly.
Because, you know, when you were playing to those crowds, those college crowds, 15 years
you're
ago.
You're the same age as those folks, yeah. or roughly, you know.
And that's turned over two or three times. Now they're all working, and they got families, and, yeah. you know, they're not going out and seeing bands.
Starting at 11:30.
Yeah.
What time you start? Oh, you're like, well, man, if they're not coming, who's coming? And you get a couple young guys, but, you know, it's just different out there. Everyone's got a record. Everybody's on iTunes. Everybody's in a band. You can't drink. You can't smoke in the clubs, and... Yeah, that has its disadvantages and its advantages, but gosh, I mean, when you and I were teenagers, did we not just go to smoky bars and watch bands? That's just all we wanted to do, wasn't it? What else was there to do?
Well, yeah, or, you know, I went to a lot of just flat out concerts, you know.
Well, sure.
You know, at arenas and Bronco Bowl. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, it's like.
That's just what you did for fun. It wasn't really expensive.
No.
Not too much. I mean.
And arena concerts are pretty much a thing of the past. You know, there's not very many acts that can...
Besides the old dinosaur guys.
Yeah.
Right.
And some of the, like, the superstar pop folks, like, you know, Taylor Swift and Beyonce, and some of those people can still fill an arena. But for the most part, those acts, the arena acts are a thing of the past.
You know, a sign of the times a little bit, driving down the road and just, I don't know, you could make the argument that Maroon 5 is a very successful band, very popular, very visible. Everyone knows who they are, you know. And where are they playing? New Year's Eve, man. One of the biggest bands in the world. Where are they playing? The billboard's right out here on the highway.
Oh yeah,
Windstar Casino, man.
On New Year's
Eve. Everyone's like, why the hell are they playing there? I'm like, that's probably the best gig you can play.
Yeah, and they're getting paid a hefty sum to do it.
Man, they're not playing the Cotton Bowl, but to your point, it's just not – they're not selling out the American Airlines. They're just like, dude, if you're lucky, if you really succeed, you get to play at some pig fairs and the casino. That's where the money is, and that's how you have a career.
Well, you know,
but what does that say about what we're doing? Not that that's bad. I just, you know.
Well, things have shifted. You know, a few years ago, the casinos were where bands went to die. It was the pasture where it was, it was a bunch of has-beens, and you know it was a sign of the fact that you'd kind of given up on being an artist.
Yeah,
and
you're a lounge act now.
Yeah, you're just basically a glorified lounge act and a retro act.
Right.
But now the casinos have really upped the ante.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I can borrow a term, a casino
from
term,
the casinos.
But they've really,
if they'll let you do that,
they've, you know, those, their production is top quality. Their
right.
venues are excellent. They treat the artists really well, and they've made it so that you want to go to see a band at a casino because it's a great place to see a band.
Interesting.
And artists are enjoying playing there. It no longer seems like the kiss of death for a career. It's mm-hmm. not. It's not any longer looked at as the place where the retirement center for bands and artists.
Plus, it's gotten so difficult. You know, when we were coming up, some kid would rent, quote unquote, a warehouse or fence off a portion of a field somewhere and have us playing on a flatbed truck.
Yeah.
And that's just what we did. But as someone explained to me recently who was trying to put an event together like that, they said, man, there's just so many laws, so many regulations in regards to how many toilets are available, parking, fire, security, insurance. A casino's going to already have all that. A casino's already going to have that in place, that
right.
stuff. So they build a stage and just start having shows. Whereas some other, you know, some other cool old venues and things that maybe we used to go see bands at, the fire marshal maybe didn't know it was happening at the time, or so,
yeah.
it was a little more going to see bands was a little more on the edge a little bit. It was a little more not in the mainstream. You get into Poor David's Pub with a 98 degree body temperature, you know,
yeah.
if you're about 15, you get in there and maybe get you a can of beer and watch a band. I mean, you know, that was kind of the atmosphere around it, and that certainly has just shut down. I'm not advocating that come back, but it's just it's very different now. It's a different atmosphere. It's just you're going to a casino, you're going to Nokia, certainly good venues, but very
polite,
smoke free. Moms and dads there, very. I don't know. I didn't think I liked the. But there was something about that atmosphere of the volume and the smoke and the sweat and the beer and the I don't know. That was kind of part of the fun, wasn't it?
The gritty aspect.
I don't
of
know.
It.
Is that going on somewhere?
Oh,
I don't know
yeah.
if it is.
I think it probably still is. I think there's.
Or is it like electronic, like rave kind of deals in somebody's
well, you
house?
Know what? I can't. I don't even know anything about that stuff.
You're not hanging out at that stuff, Pete?
No. You know, I got three kids and their only rave is.
What's going on in your living room?
Yeah.
That's where we end up.
Man, oh, man.
Well, folks, my thanks to the great Pete Cotney. He looks younger every year. Good grief. I don't even want to ask how old he is. He's got to be like, he looks like he's 26.
No.
Really? You do. Good grief. Thin as a rail.
Oh,
got
my.
All of his hair. Let's look at this guy. Pete Cotney has been here reuniting. We're going to be lucky to have him on here the next couple of weeks. I want to talk more about... Man, he's just seen so much in his Texas music career and is such a fan of music. We're going to talk all things Pete Cotney, Jack Ingram, and music as a whole with Pete Cotney as he joins us next week. Peter, be here same time next week. We look forward to that.
I'll see you.
All right. Well, that is all the time we have here on the podcast, folks. Be good to each other out there. Remember that you can donate if you feel the spirit within you to the podcast. We're all listener-supported here. Fans supporting the P2 Podcast. P2Podcast.com. There's a little donation button. It's a PayPal deal. Throw me a buck or throw me $1,000. No donation too big or small to bring you commercial-free, straight-from-the-heart talk with people like Pete, myself, and whoever. Thanks for listening, fans, for supporting the show. And we'll see you next time right here, same place. Be good. Much tougher.